Hubhopper Originals.
Welcome to the world of House with Josh podcast. Grab your cup of coffee, plug in your earpod, and get ready for sassy, upmarket, and insightful conversations. Right from guest motivation to their partner in crime to their next project, we make them spill beans. Well, it's time to call our guest. I bet you will enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to House of Joe Season 3, the show must go on. This is your host Omkar Chaudhary and we are back with yet another powerful episode of House of Joe Season 3. Well, the guest for today is quite interesting. He's an amazing personality. He's a father, he's an entrepreneur, he's a speaker, he's a conversationalist, he's a podcaster. And man, like, how many more batches is this man gonna hone? I mean, we are absolutely proud and pleasure for having such a talented personality on the show. So let's get started. Let's get rolling with Varun Dugirala. And hello and welcome, Varun, to the show.
Thanks for the lovely introduction, Omkar. And I think what I need to do is I'm trying to figure out how many you can fit into that. I think in most social media platforms, they only allow you X number of characters you can put in your bio. Okay. I'm trying to beat that as much as possible. So I still have a few more things to add there.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, like, we are looking forward to that, Varun. And you are a bundle of talent. We have been seeing you over the years and seeing your journey. You've been evolving over so much. So, I mean, it's absolutely a pleasure.
Yeah, so to be honest, one thing which I've learned in recent times, I don't think I did it enough when I was a little younger, was the fact that if you don't constantly try to find newer things to learn and newer things to do, at some point you do feel stagnant. You get into that rut of, this is my route and this is what I'm going to do. And I've always enjoyed, especially I think at some point about 3-4 years ago when I sat down and said, there's so many things I always wanted to do, always was interested in. Mm-hmm. Why am I not doing more about it? So I've just been picking them one by one. And I mean, I think that's the best way to evolve.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let me start off by first question now, Varun. Like, what are you in it for? I mean, you are into so many things. Your foot has been dabbled into so many things. So what are you in it for? What is the objective? What is the motive?
So I've always been a curious person. When I say curious, I like to know as much information as possible about most things, right? So, and it doesn't necessarily have to be what is considered useful. Mm-hmm. Like growing up, one of the questions people had is that, why do you know what happened in what show on MTV or whose album came out, who was in what movie, why they 50 times, you know, all these questions would be there. And I genuinely get fascinated by a lot of things. I want to learn more about things. So I just start consuming stuff, start learning about it. And in most cases, I do find something interesting. The kind of, you know, I feel that the more you put information into your head, the more you become curious and the more experiences you have. So that's literally been what's pushed me ahead. But what's also been interesting is sometimes I kind of go back and say, what is the stuff I wanted to do when I was a kid, which for no reason connected to home or family, anything. I just didn't get the opportunity to, right? So can I kind of go ahead and do some of those things? So it's been a mix of all that stuff that kind of keeps me going and wake up every morning and saying, what more can you do?
Right. So it's like, you know, sitting at one point of time and then introspecting, arey yaar, as a kid, I could have done that. Why not now? Age is just a number.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's also, I've become more of a kid ever since I've had a kid. Mm-hmm. Because I want Leia to have a lot of those experiences. So I remember that a few months before she was born, I was sitting down and making a playlist on my phone, basically to say all the songs that I would want her to listen to. And that is an endless playlist, which I can keep playing and I keep adding more to. She still doesn't listen to it. I listen to it more than she does. So eventually she will. But I mean, it's just stuff like that. Sometimes you kind of think about, okay, these are things which you would want your kid to experience. So this is some things which you would want someone around you to experience. And you keep pushing that stuff forward. But what's also great is that the internet's an amazing place, right? You can learn so much. Like, I have learned more about how to shoot stuff in the last year of YouTube, mm-hmm, than I learned going to film school. So it's actually been that different that that the internet allows you to kind of just go deep into anything and the most random places, like you can actually find the most interesting information.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, Varun, there's one thing about this conversation that, you know, we are not picking up a certain theme, okay, it has to just revolve around this. It's a free-flowing conversation, and this is something that, you know, with such a smart person, such a witty person that I'm sitting, I think I must not miss out this chance of having a free-flowing conversation.
Please do. That's the best kind of conversation.
Absolutely. So Varun, tell me, like, what is the feeling like when you sort of analyze, like, you know, what are your competitors up to? Like, being in this industry of podcasting, this is my third season of House of Josh. I had great celebrities on the show. I had great people on the show. But definitely there is there's a black spot, I would say, when I sort of analyze what my competitors are up to or when I see their success. I mean, see, I won't call it as an envy or as a negative space, but there's something that, you know, you feel, oh, there's someone who has done better than you. You need to, like, you know, pull up your socks, do a bit more. So is it the same for you or how does it work for you when you sort of analyze your competitors?
So anybody who says that they don't necessarily look at what other people are creating and don't get affected by that is lying, right? We all look at what everybody else is doing. And there is no denying that fact. But for me, what's been interesting is many of them are people I've spoken to, who I've learned from. And I look at their methods. But end of the day, what I kind of sit down and kind of look at is saying, what are all the things that I would really want to do with what I'm creating? What am I not doing? And when I look at what I'm not doing, I kind of also kind of go deeper into that and say that, can I, to some extent, if I do those things as well, will that make me, what's the word, will that make me unhappy? Like, would I really enjoy doing that is a question which you end up getting into sometimes, right?
Yeah.
I'll give an example. Sometime back, I remember I was sitting down and trying to create a certain sets of content. I was just trying to, you know, break, do AMA individual videos, just me talking to camera.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I just generally didn't enjoy it. It became a bit of a chore. When I was trying to master my own podcast, I was like, okay, I used to love editing when I was younger. I don't necessarily enjoy it anymore. And I sat down and said, let me just find someone to collaborate with. So it's just a mixture of all these things, which, and sometimes you need to be true to yourself. You need to be saying that this is what everyone's doing. This is what I can learn from them. But for me, what's most important is to turn around and say that, what can I truly kind of do myself, which I will enjoy? So, for example, do I love working out every day? Yes, I do. But do I want to put up instructional videos? Not necessarily. I want to have fun with it. I want to do something with it. So, which is why what I put up as reels when I work out is something which is randomly fun. Do I want to do deeper conversations on the podcast, which go 2-3 hours like an Amit Verma does? I love his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I cannot push myself to go 2-3 hours. Like, for me, about an hour odd is the limit to which I'll personally be able to record. So you do learn some of those things. So I do this one mapping piece every, actually, 3-4 months,
mm-hmm.
where I put down saying, why am I doing what I'm doing? What do I enjoy doing in it? What
right.
do I not enjoy doing in it? And what more would I want to do? And I kind of come back to that. It's a simple piece of paper. I keep coming back to that from time to time. And I keep changing stuff in it. I literally did that over the last weekend because I was just kind of remapping some of the content which I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at what everyone's doing, like, I've learned so much from someone like a Tanmay, from a Ranveer, from what an Ankur Variku is doing. And internationally, I look at guys like a Scott Galloway, look at like a Tim Ferriss, etc. And I'm like, there's so much there that you can create. The point is to try as many things. But be very clear about what you can do in the long term. Because some things aren't natural to you, right? So
right.
some people might not be natural talking on camera or might not be natural to write a book or write a newsletter. So find what you enjoy. And sometimes you surprise yourself. I discovered writing a newsletter because I was following a podcaster who writes a newsletter. And I really enjoy writing it. I enjoy writing it every week. And it's become now such a core part of who I am as a creator. So borrow from everybody, but end of the day, stay true to yourself.
Right. So I think we should be able to do justice to what we are sort of doing. It's not just for the sake of doing that you do. All right. So there's one more thing that is popping in my mind from a very long time. And especially when Siley gave me this brief, like, you know, would you like to have Varun on the show? From that point of time, it was popping in my head. Varun, do you remember 2018 or 2019? I think it was initial months of 2019 when we had connected back on Instagram. This is not the first time that we are talking. Do you remember
this? I know.
You know that. Don't. I mean, that's interesting.
I think you had pinged me or I had...
I had pinged you. I've spoken to you before.
I've spoken to you before. So I went back into that conversation and I was like, oh yeah, we've spoken before.
Right, right. So the entire story goes in this way. Like, I wanted to start my podcast when I was a second year engineering kid and I had no idea. I was quite naive about like, what is it? How is it going and everything? And there are a couple of people that I approached to. One was like Varun Dugirala, and Varun was kind enough to message for like a couple of times. I think eventually you got busier and I think the conversation just left out and I was trying to reach out to Varun, but things couldn't make up those things, I would say. But I'm finally happy that, you know, it's season three. I had Bollywood celebrities, Shruti Hassan, Tapsi, OTT people, Nidhi Bakol. And it's like, I've made it up to that point. And finally, it's like, Varun, please come ascend on the throne and get me.
Okay. First of all, I'm really sorry we couldn't do it the last time. I still don't remember why it didn't happen. I have this problem. Okay. This is something I'm actually working on, right? Is that I have a tendency to want to respond to everybody who will ever message me.
Right. Huh.
And at some point, I am not also the most structured person. Like literally, if somebody asks me, and I know this is going to be an audio, so how I plan my day, and you're going to hear a weird paper sound, it is literally like papers lying around which have random stuff scribbled like this, right?
Right.
It does not make any sense for any normal person as to how I'm organizing what all I have to do in a week. No notion. There's no notion being used. There is no spreadsheet. None of those things. I'm very unstructured. So what happens many times, and I'm going to use this to apologize to a lot of people, because I will say, okay, we should do this. We should do this, or we should have this chat, or we should do that. And I will totally forget. People who work with me know really well that with Varun, you need to keep prodding him to remind him. That is the unfortunate problem, but I'm happy we're doing this finally, but it's also something I have to work on to make a list of everybody. I say, yeah, I'd love to kind of do something together. And then I kind of just like, I'm not ghosting people. I'm just like badly organized.
No worries. In fact, I had a very positive approach. It's like, chalo, like 2019 mein afsar, like, you know, I did not get an opportunity to sort of interact with Varun, but like 2021 seems to be very fruitful to me that finally Varun is on my show.
Perfect. That's when it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
When it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Right, right. I think now I'll pull off the conversation into a part wherein everyone is very, to be very honest, what is the one thing that you're really scared of? Like, you know, there are so many things. It might be related to your fame. It might be related to your work part. It might be related to your family part. But what is that one thing that is something that really scares you, sort of?
I'm actually a very risk-averse person in life. I've always been that. It might seem very random for someone like me who quit his job, start being an entrepreneur with zero plan and do all of that stuff. But I'm generally very risk-averse. So kind of, you know, you try to map out how your life you think it's going to be. More than what you want to do, it's about how it's going to be, right? How you're going to live, the life you're going to have, for be able to build for together with, like me and Pooja talk about this, how we build our life together for our family. The one thing I'm afraid of is that vision getting disrupted, because that's something which you plan for. But apart from that, what I'm really worried about is, and it'll be very bizarre, I am constantly paranoid of falling flat on my face.
Absolutely, I was looking for that word, paranoid. I was like recollecting, what is that word, paranoid? Yeah, you're on the right track.
I'm constantly paranoid of falling flat on my face. I always have, and I've always tried to do stupid things, but I'm very paranoid doing them. Like, I will think of making, and I'd said this a while back, I think I did a TEDx in Bandra in Bombay, and I thought it was actually part of my core insight, was that as a kid, I would do really stupid stuff. Like, I would, you know, you'd seen a movie, and you should not show those movies to kids, where, you know, a guy jumps off a moving bus and runs.
Yeah.
I have tried doing that.
OMG.
Fallen very badly, like scraped my knees, elbows.
Oh.
And I was so scared doing it. And I remember when I did it, I put like extra padding on my knees and like some stuff on my elbows, and thankfully it didn't fall on my face. But, you know, I think paranoia is a good thing. It teaches you to be careful. But I'm constantly paranoid about something going wrong, some choice I made not being right. And that in many ways keeps me centered.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps me from kind of trying things without any like cushion. And so that's what I'm most afraid of. I'm most afraid of taking the wrong call, because I feel that as the world has opened up with more options,
mm-hmm.
you have so many options of what you can take. Like, no, even if you're sitting wherever you're sitting in the world, if you have an internet connection, you have options.
You have options.
That's true. The way I see it. But you can make wrong choices. So that's what I'm most, the word is paranoid, most paranoid about is that.
Right. And what if I trace back your journey right from the childhood, as you said that, you know, you've been really a fanatic person. If you see some heroic scene in the movie, you want to sort of like, you know, do it in your real life. Yeah. That real to real conversion has to happen. So tell me, like,
who hasn't tried to be a
hero?
Try to do something which they've seen in a movie.
Right. So if I just trace it back, where did you do your schooling from?
So I actually grew up in my entire family is in this. Sorry, my dog's barking.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do anything about her. This is how Lulu is.
Yeah.
Is waiting for someone to make her stop.
You carry on.
I'll carry on. Yeah, that is the one thing she's very good at, is barking very loudly. And this is literally like one room away. But anyway. I grew up in a place called Kakinada. That's where my entire family is. It's on the coast of Andhra Pradesh. And growing up, I went to a bunch of schools there, right? I mean, you mm-hmm. hop and try to find better schools and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And there were a bunch of really good schools. Studied there till my 10th standard. Moved to Bangalore for my 11th and 12th. Studied in a school called Bishop Cotton's, where I'd say I finally went into the big bad world, because I went from slightly more sheltered, more of a cocoon, small town, mm-hmm. Or rather than it was like a regular town, now it's a city, to a large scale, let's say go to Bangalore, where all the stuff people tell you you shouldn't be doing is available to you.
Right.
And you focus on those and you forget anything to do with studies and etc. And you do make all the wrong choices you can in life. So I did that. And then I went on to do engineering. I wasn't a very good engineering student. Didn't get in through merit. Folks figured a way to get me into a engineering college, and I was terrible at it. So I was in Bangalore for a long time. I think Bangalore taught me a lot about failure, because I failed so consistently.
Right.
I failed at every single thing I tried to do, be it in the way you study, anything you try to do. I was just generally very bad at it.
Right.
And at some point after my engineering, I ended up working in a call center. I worked for AOL cancellations for about 3 to 4 months, like terrible shift, 2 a.m. to 9 a.m. shift.
Right.
And that 4 months taught me so much about how to talk to people to try and convince them. Because I was talking to all parts of America, trying to convince them not to cancel their internet connection, which they had gotten as a free trial. That was my job. We were called detentions. We were not called cancellations, by the way. Our job was to retain people. And then I went to Symbiosis in Pune. First time in life, got through somewhere through actual merit. Did my mass comm. And those 2 years in Pune actually taught me a lot. Taught me a lot about what I really want to do in life. Opened up the, you know, sometimes you don't realize being a creative, a person focused on the creative industry is even an option.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized that's a great option and there's so much I could do with it. And yeah, that's, but I've been, I say I've always been studying since, but I think I truly became a student once I got to Pune.
Right. And currently, are you based in Mumbai?
I'm based in Mumbai.
Absolutely. I think now that you're based in Mumbai, I think definitely we can catch up, and I could definitely try to be like, you know, the person in the inner circles of Varun Dugirala. Because I've always admired you.
My inner circles are reasonably large. I'm told that it's a farce to say Varun has an inner circle, because Varun is
all over the place, friend. All over the Mumbai, all like Queen's necklace at Marine Drive. Right. But definitely, I think that makes it more easier for me to push in myself.
For sure, man.
Right. So Varun, this is a House of Josh. So definitely enlighten us about your Josh. Like, what gets you off the bed? I mean, definitely your muscular pecs are like, you know, really pumping us hard to go and hit the workout. And your definitely the cover letters and the podcasts that you do, the kind of sensible things that you do on internet really sort of puts in a motivation in the, like, you know, the layman's mind. So, but tell us from your mouth, like, what is your motivation? What is that inner thing? What is that secret mantra to sort of get you off the bed and get going?
So I used to be, for the longest time, I haven't been in the last few years, but for the longest time, I was that really irritating person who was super excited about a Monday morning. Oh. Right? I would be like, I would be very excited. Like, let's go. I would love to go to office. I'd want to do work. I'm like, why do we have weekends? Let's work all the time.
Oh, workaholic.
And I used to be that irritating person, right? All my friends are like, why are you this person? On Sunday evening, everyone's like, "Arey, yaar, I don't want to do any work tomorrow. Why do we do Monday?" And I'm like, yeah, it's Monday tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I was not necessarily liked. I was into cutlet in life. But what I feel really helps me get up in the morning is, you know, in life, you need a routine. And if you build a routine that you look forward to, then it's, you know, it's good. And sometimes those, and it's sometimes it seems so basic, right? Like for me, that I spend, and I did this recently, and it's become a core part of it. I spend the first hour of my day not look at my phone. Like, wake up in the morning, for 1 hour, don't look at your phone. It is by far the most amazing thing you can do to yourself, because what happens is we wake up, we take our phones up, and suddenly you have this like barrage of information, and then you suddenly, stuff goes downhill. It's great to be oblivious of what's happening in the world around you, or who has messaged you, who has whatever, for 1 hour in the morning. That's actually one of the best. I look forward to that 1 hour every morning. The days I oversleep, that 1 hour becomes half an hour, but I still try to keep it that way. So I look forward to the routine of every day. And if you build that routine well, what it actually does is that you know what's coming. So if you know what's coming, you are less worried about, you know, and I don't want to say extremes. Like, I know people who say, okay, I only wear black t-shirts because I don't have to worry about what to wear. There are people who eat the same thing every day. I'm not going that far. I'm literally saying, take an hour every morning just to do anything. Like, I give my dogs a biscuit. I sit and have some something to drink. And I just don't necessarily do anything. Which is why I try to wake up a little earlier and do that. But I generally wake up because I feel that if you start your day with that mode, then you are truly excited to make it meaningful. Like, you try to make every day meaningful just by starting off slow rather than starting off with one like bigger rush in your head. So that actually makes me get up in the morning. And yeah, rest of it is pretty simple. I mean, there are some days I wake up and I don't want to do anything.
I
still push myself to give myself that 1 hour in the morning. I also give myself an hour in the night where I just sit and write, or I work on a project. So weirdly enough, everybody in my house sleeps early. So I get an extra hour in the night when Leah's asleep, Pooja's asleep, the dogs are asleep. So I again can do. So my morning and evening, those 2 hours are the best. I'd say they help me reset and reboot.
Absolutely. I think I'm really going to follow this routine, because, you know, there's like 1 hour in the morning for the Varun, and even when you end the day, it ends with like, you know, 1 hour with yourself. Because if you see the entire day, we are interacting with so many people, and especially during the COVID times, there's so much of negative things, there's so much of negative thoughts, and me being having an OCD, I think those thoughts keep on revolving in my head. I'm scared of death. I'm scared of COVID. I'm scared of me getting a disease. There's so much more that is happening around. I feel that you need to sort of reboot. You need to sort of give that time to yourself when you channelize and when you push in your positive energy out there.
Yeah. And also because you're trying to, like, speaking of the time we are in right now, right? It's honestly affected everyone's mental health. Like, I know that my mental health has been the greatest in the last year or primarily also because you feel helpless. You don't know what you can do to help. You try to do what you can. You try to share. You try to connect people who might need some help. You know, you're trying to do what you can, but it never feels like it's enough. But once you're doing so much of it, even for you, even though it might be tiny for when you look at it from a broader perspective, for you it might be a lot for your own mind. And if you don't give your own mind some time to kind of rest, and rest doesn't mean sleep, right? Just give time. Like, I literally many times I just read a book or listen to an audio book or listen to a podcast. And that really helps. Actually, not a podcast, it's a book or an audio book. Because again, a podcast feels like consuming content sometimes. But Yeah, so I just give yourself some time. I think there's no better way to motivate yourself to get up in the morning or to wind down your day than to just do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And initially, I felt that, you know, there's one thing between me and Varun that is common, that is podcasting. But apart from that, I think we both are, again, engineers, and that becomes the second mm-hmm. point of commonality. Yeah. So talking about this podcasting space, like, I mean, we both have been doing great. It's been a great journey so far, I would say. So tell me about your podcasting journey. Like, how it has been for you? Like, what is something that you have learned and unlearned as a podcaster?
So I'm an accidental podcaster. I wasn't a podcast listener till I started hosting one. And then I became like, that literally is my prime content consumption right now is podcast. But for me, it's been interesting because I feel it's made me more, confident of the things which I always was interested in and wanted to do. Like I can have a conversation, like today I can say I can have a conversation with anybody.
Anybody.
And find something that would make it an interesting conversation. Right? I think that's really... also makes me sometimes not plan enough for podcast episodes where I kind of go in and think, no, I have a broad idea. I don't have to do too much research. Thankfully, most of my guests have enough information, so that helps. But so my journey has been interesting, right? I've been trying to evolve it. I think I spent the first, 60, 70 episodes literally just focusing on trying to be a good host, trying to get the mix of guests right, doing all of that.
Right.
Especially the last year has been a lot about what more can I do around it. So trying different formats. Right now I'm very excited about social audio, like Twitter Spaces. Not Clubhouse as much. I have my issues with Clubhouse because I feel like I don't know how long it will survive. But I do know that Twitter Spaces, some of the others are going to be massive. So that area is really interesting for me. And what it's really made me think about is that, how to put this? Audio is a great way to learn. Okay. I realized some time back that how much I learned from listening to podcasts. And I'm like, why don't we have enough education pieces which are audio based? So education has actually been on my mind a lot. It's something, can podcast be like school? Yeah. And in many ways it can. So those are things that I'm focusing on now, trying to build out this entire podcast piece, which I'm doing, saying, can it become broader on social so you can reach more people? Mm-hmm. Can I try out different formats? Maybe one day even do a fiction podcast. I've always wanted to write something. And I've always thought it'd be too painful, too much work to do. But I somehow feel the audio one might be interesting. And I'll have to ping someone like a mantra and say, can you please help me in doing this?
Right.
And I think that's really exciting, right? There's so much opportunity now with social audio coming in because social audio allows you to be so much more interactive.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just recording and putting it out there. You can interact with your audience real time. Right. So, yeah, I'm super excited.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, in this 2021, I see that, you know, there's so many professionals, maybe entrepreneurs or maybe MNC workers and corporate people, they have the social side to them. Maybe they are a blogger, maybe they are a food blogger, or they do fashion, fitness, podcast, YouTube. So what is this? Like, how do you guys channelize this thing between, like, you know, giving enough time to your corporate, to your main work, and how do you sort of put it down for your passionate thing, maybe podcasting or XYZ?
The way I look at it is that you need to be, okay, let me put it this way. You need to know how much time you can give something.
Hmm.
There are three things you do in life, right? There is work, mm-hmm. there is life, and podcasts are like what you do in between.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily work.
Yeah.
So your work requires a certain amount of time. Everybody knows how much time that will take.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is as important, right? How much time you spend with family, friends, that entire bunch. Like, that's something you can't just take away. It's important to have that. But what's the point of life if you don't spend time with that bunch?
Right.
And then you say, this is the time I have left. What can I create in that? I think podcasts are great because unlike video where you have to edit, there's a lot more to it, right?
Right.
Here, the setup cost is much lower.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do so much more. So think about how much time you can give something and then make your choice. That's what I did. For me, podcasts were easy enough to do. I found it easier post recording from home because I would have to go to a studio before to record. Also time the studio availability with my availability and my guest's availability.
Right.
Now it's a Zoom call away. So all that has made life simpler, but you need to be true to yourself. How much time can you give something, and basis that figure what you can fit into it. And then also add in stuff over time. Don't do everything together. So I started with one podcast, then I started building a second one out. started writing a newsletter, but I did them all one after the other.
Right.
Didn't try doing all of them together.
Right.
And find people to collaborate with. If you can, we should find people to collaborate with. If you're working and if you can take a tiny amount of your salary aside and say, this is money I'm investing into what I really want to do as a creator. Could be finding someone to edit your podcast, could be finding someone to edit your blog, or just like any of those things. It might be an interesting investment because you're investing in yourself, what you're interested in.
Yeah, I think this is quite noteworthy because the way you sort of put it across, like, you know, take a tiny part of your salary and sort of try to invest in yourself. And this is another way of sort of investing in yourself by collaborating and by like, you know, creating small employment for others to dive into your work that you do.
That is the biggest part of this, right? The reason why it's called the creator economy now and not just called influencers or this and that is because it's become an economy. It's not just about the people who are, let's say, on camera or on mic. It's about the people working with them to master, to distribute, to create, help do research, to help do captions. There's so many people available to do that now.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting example. It's also about how you can feed both sides. I'll give an example. There's this, I was watching, I think, Colin and Samir's show on YouTube, and they had this interesting story about this Australian podcast. Is one of the biggest podcasts in Australia, and the two guys who run it make no money from it. Oh no, not for Colin Summit. This is from, I think, Matt Diavela's episode. And these guys don't make any money from their podcast, and but they run a production house. So because they talk to creators, brands, and etc., it helps them get more business for their production house. So for them, this is marketing cost.
Right.
They're doing this as part of their overhead cost, and so they're not trying to make money from it. It's a great way to amplify it. So why does every single venture capital firm today have a podcast? Because they know that they're putting their thoughts out there. So finance, venture capital. I mean, first, I believe that eventually everybody will have a podcast because everybody can pick up their phone and record something, put it out there. And platforms like Anchor have made that so much simpler. So I think it's about how you look at it and how it fits into your budget.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a really creative way. And I think I completely resonate with the point that you spoke about the creator's economy. Right. So, I mean, Varun, I really found this conversation, like, you know, easy flowing. And it was really great to know more about Varun Dugirala, knowing his perspective towards life and how he sort of, like, you know, resonates and retrospects into his own space. So, Varun, it was a great conversation. What would you like to say?
Thanks, Adam. I think it was great that we went into different zones. I always like conversations where you go into different zones and kind of find different points, kind of bring out. And so I'm happy we finally did this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a
right.
Couple of years
talking
late,
from your talking from your childhood to your college, then your work in the call center. I think probably nobody knew that you were into a call center and stuff.
It's some of these things I haven't spoken about before yet. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. As I think it's one of the best conversations I had I had so far. And I really enjoyed this.
Thanks, Mukesh. I enjoyed it as well. And thanks, Adan, for having me.
Absolutely. So all the beautiful listeners out there, today we had Varun Dugirala on the show. And it was absolutely a stunning conversation, getting to know Varun in a much more different way. And I think he was kind enough to spill the beans about his success, about his success mantra and about his life. So do check it out and do like, share and subscribe to House of Josh podcast. Season 3, the show must go on.
इस हब हॉपर ओरिजिनल को सुनने के लिए आपका शुक्रिया अगर आप भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करना चाहते हैं तो हब हॉपर स्टूडियो वेबसाइट पे रजिस्टर करें और एक मिनट के अंदर अंदर अपना खुद का पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करें यही नहीं स्टूडियो देता है आपको पूरी आजादी कहीं भी कभी भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करने की सिर्फ 3 आसान स्टेप्स में तो साथ में अपना पॉडकास्ट शुरू करने के लिए तैयार जस्ट हॉप ऑन हब हॉपर सिंपली कॉन्टेंट